folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul sitting in today for Melody Cederstrom. This is a financial survival, and I hope that you'll stay tuned. I will not be able to do as good a job as she does. As you all know, I'm generally here with her Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but she had to take the day off, had to run some other errands. So I'm going to do my feeble best to do what I can to do a good job for her and maybe help you all in some way, bless you in some way, and be able to just share some information if you don't mind. Now, let's get into the markets, of course, like we always do, because that's one thing I know Melody always does. And we need to cover those very quickly, although they're not closed yet, but this is as close as I can get right now. The Dow Jones is up 221.92, 34,429.76. Pretty good jump. The NASDAQ is up 211.59 at 13,682.58. S&P is up 47 at 42,02.86. Gold had a good day. Gold's up $6.10. I like this. 1882.07. It's pecking on the $1,900 mark, folks. I think it's going to keep right on climbing. I really do. Silver is up 20 cents, 27.73. That is wonderful. And I've always liked silver. Gold, I'm sure, is a better investment in a lot of ways. But silver, I guess you could say, is a poor man's precious metal. That's what I've got the most of, because I never could afford to buy much gold. So the increase in it is surely a blessing to me to see it happening, especially considering the first one I bought was $3. Now they're over 40 bucks for silver dollar. But nonetheless, oil up a bunch. $2.39, 65.96. Now that's going to show up, or 76, I'm sorry. That's going to show up big time at the pumps. I'm still amazed how when the oil rages today, prices go up to the same day or next day. When the oil prices go down, it takes a long time for those prices to come back down. I just don't get it. The dollar is down 18 cents at 89.84. The index on dollar, folks, is dropping, and that's why gold's up. Maybe it's why silver's up. I don't know. But the dollar is getting weaker. I'm not an expert, but I've always read this. That's good and that's bad. Okay? It can be good in some areas and bad in others. But I do know that the gold and silver had a good day today. And I do look for gold and silver to continue to have good days. Not without fluctuations, I know that. But they will have good days. And that's why we always tell you, even my broadcast, you need to call Melody Cederstrom up and talk to her now while the prices are somewhat still reasonable, folks. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost. 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Call and talk to her and ask her some questions and do what you can. That's all we can do. I don't think none of us have all the answers. None of us know exactly what's going to happen. But all of us, within common sense, can see that things are going to unwind in a bad direction, and already is. Now, once in a while, I get started on the lighter side. Melody seems like it. So I'm going to do it today, if you don't mind. I want to read something to you. I thought you might find amusing. Then we'll go on from there. The reason Mayberry was so peaceful and quiet was because nobody was married. Andy, Aunt B, Barney, Floyd, Howard, Goober, Gomer, Sam, Ernest T. Bass, Helen, Thelma Lou, Clara, and of course Opie were all single. The only married person was Otis, and he stayed drunk. Just thought I'd share it with you. Okay. Hey, don't throw stones at me. I'm just sharing it with you, all right? I thought it was kind of interesting. And I do want to read some quotes here, because we got a lot of news covered today. It's just me on here, so I'll try to get as much news on as possible, because I think you're going to find some information that I'm going to share that interesting. And one of the articles I want to share in a few mentions is entitled, Why is Paper Money Constitutional? Well, we're going to find out maybe that it really isn't. We're going to share that with you. We're going to go into Bitcoin prices drop 50%, 50%. Gold and silver are the only assets, folks, that are going to stay prosperous in the long run. Bitcoin can prosper for a while. It has, obviously. But when the bottom falls out, it's going to be gone also. Let me read to you a statement, if you don't mind, which I think you'll find interesting. Liberty is not for these slaves. I do not advocate inflicting it against their conscience. On the contrary, I am strongly in favor of letting them crawl and grovel all they please before whatever fraud or combination of frauds they choose to venerate. Our whole practical government is grounded in mob psychology, and the boobus Americanus will follow any command that promises to make him safer. That's pretty powerful. It really is. It's just, and those who lack the courage will always find a philosophy to justify it. Albert Camus said that. Those who lack the courage, will always find a philosophy to justify it. I thought that was very, very powerful. Straight up and straight down the way it is. So, boobus Americanus, and folks, I don't mean to sound nasty. I'm an American. But the masses of people have fallen into this fear of obeying whoever is in office. And we're foolish enough to think that when we vote another tyrant in office, that we've done a good job. That we've selected the lesser of evils. That we've exercised our sovereign right to vote. And all we've done is just change masters. We're still slaves. We just change masters. That's the way it is. Now, this was foretold over 100 years ago by Rudolf Steiner. Now, listen to what Rudolf Steiner said. In the future, the soul will be eliminated by medicine. On the pretense of health, there will be a vaccine whereby the human organism will be treated as soon as possible, possibly directly at birth, so that the human being cannot develop the awareness of the soul and the spirit. Materialistic doctors will be entrusted with the task of removing the soul from humanity. Like today, people are vaccinated against specific diseases, so in the future, children will be vaccinated with a substance that will immunize against the madness of spiritual life. The vaccinated person could be very clever, but would not develop a conscience, and that's the real goal of some materialistic circles. With such a vaccine, you would get the etheric body to detach from this physical body. When the etheric body is attached, the relationship between the soul and the universe becomes extremely unstable, and man and automaton, because the physical body of man must be polished on this earth by will and by spiritual effort. So, the vaccine becomes a kind of force that rivets consciousness to matter. Man no longer get rid of materialistic feelings. It remains animal by constitution and can no longer rise to spiritual conscience. Rudolf Steiner, folks, said that. This is something we need to seriously consider and understand that these are statements that should concern all of us. The Bible talks about sorcery, pharmakia. Sorcery, the word in Revelation means pharmakia, that they will use drugs to control people's minds and emotions. And surely, folks, we've seen that with the drugs for mind control with the students in the schools that lose it and go out and shoot other people because the medicines have messed their minds up, and adults also. Surely we can see that. It's nothing that we need to, nothing that we can, there's no use panicking over it, but we got to understand it. If Steiner said this over 100 years ago and warned us this is going to happen, and folks, he was for it. He wasn't against it. If he had enough courage, enough foresight to warn us, maybe we should pay attention. Maybe we should pay attention to who our slave masters are, who we should obey. Because slave masters only allow you to prosper as much as they want you to. There's always controls. And someone at the top, at the elite, always get to choose the controls. You may say, well, I voted in office, so therefore I did well. If it's still a slave master, folks, all you've done was change masters. That's all. There's this article by Jacob G. Humberger. I think it's pretty interesting. Why is paper money constitutional? The official money in the United States today is paper currency. But that's clearly not what the Constitution says. It says that gold and silver coins shall be the nation's currency. Now, folks, I think you know why that was. But because we were ignorant of the truth, we don't understand the history, don't understand money. As a nation, we've accepted paper. Paper is paper. You pass it around, and we think it's worth something because it says dollar on it. But it is worth nothing, literally worth nothing, except the faith we have in it to be worth something. And even though inflation eats it up, and the dollar becomes worth less and less and less, we still have faith that to buy something, and never whimper, because we don't understand what real money is. Back to the article. How is that possible? I thought the Constitution was supposed to be the highest law of the land. I also thought that it was a responsibility of the U.S. Supreme Court to enforce the Constitution. Why then are Americans living under a paper money monetary system rather than the system stipulated in the Constitution? Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the power to coin money. Now that's a big difference, folks. It didn't say print money. It said coin money. It's not given the power to print money. Coining money is not printing money. At the risk of belaboring the obvious, coining money entails making coins out of metals. The framers preferred coins made from gold and silver. How do we know this? Because of Article 1, Section 10, which states in part, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. It was President Franklin Roosevelt who, along with his Congress, abrogated America's founding monetary system. Citing the economic emergency of the Great Depression, Roosevelt and his Congress decreed that America would no longer use gold and silver coins as its official money. Instead, it would resort to paper money as its official money. Make comment here. Freedoms are almost always lost under so-called emergency. 9/11, COVID, of course, back then, the so-called depression. Roosevelt then went a step further. He ordered anyone and everyone to turn in his gold coins to the federal government. In return, they would receive paper money. Anyone who was caught owning gold coins, which had been the official legal money of the American people for more than a century, would be criminally prosecuted for a felony. There was at least one big problem, however, with Roosevelt's actions. He didn't secure a constitutional amendment prior to nationalizing gold and making a paper money legal tender. Remember, the Constitution is the highest law of the land. It controls the actions of the President and Congress. The executive and legislative branches cannot amend the Constitution. They're required to comply with the Constitution. Moreover, the Constitution does not provide an emergency exception. That means that its provisions remain fully operative and enforceable despite any emergency. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court abrogated its responsibility to enforce the Constitution, which enabled Roosevelt to get away with his monetary power grab. That's how Americans have come to live under a paper money system, notwithstanding the clear language to the contrary in the Constitution. That's also how federal officials have been able to confiscate the income and wealth of the American people through decades of monetary debasement. That's called inflation, folks. That's what we have today. That's what we have. And through increased taxation on paper, yeah, I don't care. Once you give them the ability to print fiat currency and they give you the cash or the check, whatever they pay by, it can be taxed. Gold and silver were hard to tax. It was real money. It let people be independent in their dealings with other people. Now, that's something that we forgot about. And for what little bit it's worth, cash today allows a little bit of independence when it comes to buying and selling something. That's why they want to do away with it. That's exactly why we're seeing Bitcoin take hold in a lot of places. We're seeing the end of that come under the beast system. We're seeing it happen. But because we were naive enough or ignorant enough or stupid enough to accept paper currency, and then with the checks, and then credit cards, and then soon no cash, that's how we got where we are. I know that's not pleasant. It doesn't make you feel good to hear this. But I'm telling you the truth because I care. If you don't protect your wealth, no one else will. If you have children, grandchildren, or other family that you want to share something with when you leave this world, unless you have tangible assets, you really have nothing. And every dollar bill you give somebody may be worth something, but could deteriorate its worth every day. Bitcoin prices tumbled 50% from peak, and Mark Cuban called the crypto crash the great unwind. Dogecoin prices are at 29 cents, down 60% from the early May peak for the meme asset. Bitcoin prices on Sunday afternoon were in free fall, with the world's number one crypto spiraling down more than 50% from a peak in around middle of April, amid another bout of turbulence in the digital asset sector. At last check, Bitcoin prices were changing hands at $32,632, down 12% on the day, after hitting a 24-hour low of $31,179, which had Bitcoin from mid-April peak at $64,829. Ethereum blockchain, meanwhile, was seeing an even more severe slump, down at 1.18% at $19.22 on the session, and down by 60% from its all-time high earlier this month of $43.82. It was down 13% at $20.33. So, I don't know. I know China's cracking down this. I know our face is starting to look at it. We want to control it. I don't understand all about this. I truly don't. I don't. I know that people invest in it and got wealthy off of it, if they had no sense to get out of it when they made the money. But right now, it's taking a huge hit. What that's going to mean, I really don't know. Will government step in and decide to make their own Bitcoin, so to speak, and they decide to do the print their own paper? Will that be possible? Will they do that? I don't know. I have no idea, but I do know this, that this is more control. If you have to take your earnings from a electronic wallet that somebody else controls, then you better be a good boy, because then cut off your check, cut off your money supply. Let that sink in. Cash is some independence. Electronic money will be no independence. And gold and silver is the ultimate when it comes to financial independence, folks. That's the best to it. Now, being a pastor, people say, well, gold and silver will be cast into the streets. It does say that. But that will not happen under the church's wrath, the wrath of Satan. That will happen under God's judgment when he judges the world of the wicked people, the rich men, the wicked rich men. He will make it worth nothing. But while we're on earth, and Satan judges the world and even the church, that will never go to nothing, folks. There's two judgments. One of Satan's wrath and one of God's wrath. And we will not face the depreciation of, total depreciation of what few assets we have while we're still living. No, we won't. Because Satan, although Satan wants to destroy us and all that we stand for, that will not happen. But when we're gone, when we're finally, when God judges the wicked, and he will take away the value. He will take away the total value of that, and rich men will have nothing. That's why they say they'll be crying in the streets like it was in 1922 with the Great Depression. It'll be the same thing again, only this time worse. Well, I think you're ready to go to break. I don't hear anything, but I know it's getting close. So I'll save this next story for after the break, so you don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, we are back. And again, this is Pastor Butch Paul. Do my best to do what Melody would do, to inform you folks and help you understand simple situations and simple circumstances when it comes to finances. I am not the expert she is. But I do understand Scripture. I do understand what the Bible called money. I do understand economics enough to at least talk about it a little bit. Because I live here in this country also, folks. I've been around in this country over seven decades. I'm 72 years old. I understand a little bit what's happened to the nation. And it's what I see happening. It's happened in the past and getting worse now. I don't like to have to even talk about it. But if I don't warn people, then the blood's on my hands. I've got to let them know this is actually coming down. We've been duped and deceived for so long. We really and truly have. And no matter what the reason, we let them undermine our country to the point there's not much left to build on in any way at all, especially spiritually, morally. But any other way also. And economics are also part of it. This next article by Robert Wheeler, an organic prepper, I want to share with you. I think it's very interesting. I think these people are trying to do the same thing I'm doing. They're trying to put together some common sense scenarios and look into the future, so to speak, to share what is coming in this country. And folks, it's going to be around the world. But I live here in America. This is where this is where I eat. This is where I live. This is where I pay the bills. This article's the title, Are You Ready for the Everything Shortage? For several months, many more articles to cover the global shortages and coming shortages facing the worldwide economy. My articles warn of food, chip, fuel, and commodity shortages. I also wrote about inflation, crop failures, and scarcity of any goods that consumers may need or want. Some readers may feel it was a bit like paranoia and overkill at the time. And guess what? MSM now reveals my writings on global shortages are, in fact, accurate. Many articles found on MSM's corporate outlets report on global shortages. In fact, those articles seem like I could have written them. Not that the general hack stenographers masquerading as journalists today. One such article, The World Economy is Suddenly Running Low on Everything, by Brendan Murray, Andy Curran, and Kim Chipman. This piece sums up many of the issues I've written about for several months, albeit much later. To start, Murray, Curran, and Chipman write, a year ago, as the pandemic ravaged country after country, and the economy shuddered, consumers were the ones panic buying. Today, on the rebound, it's companies that are furiously trying to stock up. Mattress producers to car manufacturers to aluminum foil makers are buying more material than they need to survive the breakneck speed at which demand for goods is recovering and ushers a primal fear of running out. The frenzy is pushing supply chains to the brink of seizing up. Shortages, transportation bottlenecks, and price spikes are nearly the highest levels in a recent memory, raising concern that the supercharged global economy will stroke inflation. But wait, there are more global shortages to report. The writers also mention the global shortage of raw materials, crops, and other essential commodities. The effect of the current supply disruption is seen not just on the economy, but also daily life. Copper, iron ore, and steel, corn, coffee, wheat, and soybeans, lumber, semiconductors, plastic, and cardboard for the packaging. The world is seemingly low on all of it. You name it, and we have a shortage on it. Tom Lindbarger, chairman and chief executive of engine and generator manufacturer Cummins Incorporated, said on a call this month, clients are trying to get everything they can because they see high demand. Jennifer Rumsey, the Columbus, Indiana-based company's president, said they think it's going to extend into next year. The difference between the big crunch of 2021 and past supply disruptions is the sheer magnitude of it and the fact that there is, as far as anyone can tell, no clear end in sight. Big or small, few businesses are spared. I don't think there's any question of the fact, folks, if you look around and if you try to buy anything, especially like a major appliance in the last several months, we looked at the price of materials that to add onto your home or build a deck on your house or whatever it may be, or even the food prices. Even at fast food restaurants, the prices are soaring. I mean, really, the prices are out of sight, insanely out of sight. A chicken sandwich and a soft drink for two people, I know this because I just bought them yesterday, a $16 and change, over $8 each. For a chicken sandwich and a soft drink. That is ridiculous. But that is the price we're paying. Which means a dollar in my wallet doesn't buy as much as it did last year at this time. Or last month this time, as far as that goes. And then next month at this time, I'll buy less. I don't understand why people put their faith in dollars, paper dollars. Why do you do that? And do you really believe that your 401k and IRA are going to be there whenever the economy collapses? You go, well, I got that in the bank. I got that a contract. It's all written out. That written contract, folks, will be just what it is when it doesn't end any good anymore. You still get the contract. You can read it and read it over and over. It still says what it says, but it's not worth anything. It's just paper. Unless you hold the physical assets in your hand and you have it in your possession, you don't own it. It's just that easy. Unless you have it in somewhere where you control it personally, you do not own it. But the rate of way things are going, folks, I see no end to the situation of things getting easier for people just trying to make ends meet. This next article by John Williams really says it quite clearly also. The Fed has lost control. John Williams warns of hyperinflation in 2022, and I think he's been a little liberal with that. I think it's going to start much more in the next 6 months. I really do. But I'm sure 2022 will be even worse. Economist John Williams, founder of ShadowStats.com, says the Federal Reserve has painted itself into such a tight corner with the economy, it really has two choices. Williams says it comes down to inflation or implosion. Inflation or implosion. What would happen to the financial system if the Fed stopped printing massive amounts of money for stimulus and debt service? Williams explains that. You can see financial implosion by preventing liquidity being put into the system. The system needs liquidity, freshly created dollars, to function. Without that liquidity, you would see more of an economic implosion than you have already seen. In fact, I will contend that the headline pandemic numbers have actually been a lot worse than they have been reporting. It also means that we are not recovering quite as quickly. The Fed needs to keep the banking system afloat. They want to keep the economy afloat. All that requires a tremendous influx of liquidity in these difficult times. So, is the choice inflation or implosion? Is the choice inflation or implosion? Williams says that's the choice. And I think we are going to have a combination of both of them. I think we're eventually headed into a hyperinflationary economic collapse. It's not that we haven't been in an economic collapse already. We're coming back some now. The Fed has been creating more money at a pace that's never been seen before. You're basically up 75% in money creation year over year. Do you hear that, folks? Money creation is up 75% from this time last year. Printing paper is up 75% from this time last year. There's 75% more paper in circulation than there was this time a year ago. This is unprecedented. Normally it might be up 1 or 2% year over year. The exploding money supply will lead to inflation. I am not saying we're going to go to 75% inflation yet, but you're going to get up to 4 or 5% range, and you are soon going to be seeing 10% range year over year. The Fed has lost control of inflation. How long has Melody been saying that? Even I've been saying that. You print more money, the more money you print, the higher the inflation goes. 75% increase in the money supply in 1 year. The average is 1 or 2% a year. So that means that your dollar that you're holding in your hand right now has inflated tremendously in a year's time. It's deflated. That's, what can I say? The proof is here. How do you argue with the numbers? I don't care what the Fed says. Fed says it's all transitory. I don't believe that at all. I don't think any of y'all do either. They're still printing money. Wanting to print trillions more money for all kinds of reasons. Infrastructure, and maybe another bailout, and on it goes. Of course the economy looks like it's growing. Because you're giving them paper money that's worth less, but it's still buys something. Mr. Williams said this is going to catch up to us. Hyperinflation and implosion. Oh my. That is not to make you stop and think about it, isn't it? Of course, when the only way the state can survive, if the government can survive, is if they start seeing their assets dwindling, they just raise taxes. That's easy. Inflation causes taxes to go up also. So they raise taxes. So the one you voted for, the one you thought was going to turn things around, that you feel honored you voted for, and they're now in office, had just taxed you a little more, just made you that much more of a slave. That's the way it goes. That's what it is. Meat eaters hit hardest as inflation sweeps U.S. grocery aisles. Inflation is landing in America's refrigerators, and it's hitting meat eaters most of all. You know, and I'd say this very humbly and gratefully. I'm blessed to be able to raise some of my own beef, and I live in a place where I can put a deer in the freezer if I want to. So I don't pay much attention to the price of meat in the stores. But I will say that eventually the price of beef on the hoof is going to raise also. It's going to raise. Especially when they're trying to outlaw beef. You know what's happening. In Oregon, they want you to just only eat your animals when they die. You're not going to be allowed to butcher them. Now, I'm not making it up. Look it up for yourself online. Oregon is one of is passing a law that you can only eat the things that you own that die naturally. And already we have artificial meat in many fast food places, and I think Burger King is one of them. Yeah, that's not even real meat. And you're going to learn to like it. That's what they're talking about, folks. So yeah, meat's going to become a luxury someday in our nation. Maybe back to the article. About 1 in 3 U.S. adults say they're spending more on groceries than they were at the start of 2021, according to the Morning Consult survey, the 2,200 U.S. adults conducted May 17th to 19th for Bloomberg News. Red meat was the ingredient cited most often for the higher prices, with chicken right behind. Food inflation had been inching up for months, driven by soaring commodity costs, cost of transportation, and challenges securing labor. Rising demand for meat from home cooks as well from the booming fast food industry has buoyed prices too. We've got these pockets of inflation without having corresponding wage growth, and that's going to put consumers in a really tough spot, Morning Consult economist John Lear said in an interview. To save money on their rising grocery bills, about a quarter of U.S. shoppers, folks, 25%, say they have started buying fewer items overall during the pandemic, including less meat. Yeah, I can see that happening. I'm sure you can too. I mean, that's no wonder. As you said, the price of labor is going up because people don't want to work. You see, socialism gives people more incentive not to work than it does to work, so the businesses have to come up with a lot more money. This gets people off the couches. Which means they have to raise their prices on all the goods they sell. Which means that the consumer, even those who got a pay raise, are going to pay more for their goods and services because they demanded more money. And as the social system prints more money to give to more people, more freebies, you know, medical care, food, education, all that's going to be free, so they say. We all end up being in total debt slavery because we want things free. This will add up to the point, grow to the point, as it did in other countries, and I keep mentioning Venezuela, but we can name Zimbabwe, but we can name others. Even Germany back in the 40s, the same thing back in the 30s. Inflation eat up their money supply. Why do we think, why are we so cocky and so self-assured that this couldn't happen to the good old U.S. of A.? Why do we think that we're immune to these things? It's because we have been more or less for a long time as far as things moving on, because we don't have a credit society. We don't have a cash society anymore. As a whole, we have a credit society. People live well because they go in debt. In debt for their homes, their cars, their education, they go in debt. If it wasn't for the debt and the credit card, the economy would stop. Think about that. If it wasn't for the easy way, we can go into debt and keep things moving, which is the same thing the Fed's doing, printing more paper, going further in debt, our nation going further in debt. Well, we as individuals have done the same thing. We all have done it, folks. We buy something on a payment plan. Buy it on time, they say. So much down, so much a month. People lost the idea of paying cash. You know why they have? Well, first off, maybe they can't afford it with cash. But secondly, they don't have the patience and the tenacity to keep working long enough to save the money to pay cash. And we're an instant give-me society. Give it to me today, I'll pay for it later. That's called debt. The Bible warns about that. The Bible says that the debtor is a servant, a slave to the lender. Understand this, folks. There's nothing new under the sun, since America has prospered because of debt. America looks like it is growing economically on debt. The government is growing tremendously on debt. How do you think we've got to be $40 trillion in debt and more as a nation? In what the government owes and what the people owes is phenomenal amount on credit cards. This is how we got where we are, because we have played the game of passing the buck to the next generation. So inflation is going to keep growing faster and faster, to the point that someday soon people will wake up and realize they can afford to feed their family. A lot of them can't now. If we keep going down the same path, and I don't see any way to change it now, it's going to happen real soon and much worse. Back at the break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, we are back again. This is Pastor Butch Poyless in Financial Survival, and I hope that you will give Melody a call and talk to her at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Now, I know I'm not doing a good job as when Melody's with me. I know I'm not, but I'm not Melody. She's been doing this a lot more years than I have. She understands what's going on a lot more than I do. But the news is still the news. The facts are still the facts. I can't change that. I have no power or authority to change what's going on. My job as a pastor, especially as a talk show host even, or someone we'll say is a friend, is to tell the truth. It isn't to discourage you or frighten you. It's to help you understand what's going on so you can prepare for what's coming. The Bible says a wild man sees destruction coming and prepares for it, and the fool just does nothing and ends up in trouble. So I'm doing this because I want you to prepare yourself and your family for what's inevitable, folks, in this country. And I said the other day, I'll say it again, I think 2025 is going to be an outside for this thing really coming to a head. I really do. I truly do. Now, here's an article I thought was kind of, it's a little bit amusing, but it's sad nonetheless. Steelworker union that endorsed Biden now begging him not to end Trump's tariff on foreign steel. They voted for Trump, Biden and a bit in the butt. Donald Trump was one of the best American presidents in years for workers and labor, protecting the interests of American workers and bringing jobs back to America was at the very center of his campaign and presidency. In spite of this, the nation's largest steelworker union decided to endorse Biden in 2020 for some reason. Now, the very same union is begging Biden to keep Trump's tariffs on foreign steel in place. U.S. steel industry groups and the United Steelworkers Union on Wednesday urged President Joe Biden to keep in place the steel tariffs imposed 3 years ago, saying that lifting them now would determine or undermine the industry's viability. In a letter to Biden, just days after his chief trade negotiator struck a temporary tariff truce with the European Union, the groups argued that the Section 232 national security tariffs imposed by former President Donald Trump have been a success, leading to a $15.7 billion in new capacity investments. Folks, almost $16 billion in new capacity investments. But under Biden, this is going to go away. I don't want to say. I don't. I didn't like Trump, and I'm quite honest with you. I voted third party again. You say, well, you're part of the problem. No, you say what you want. I'm going to vote conscious and what's right. You do what you want to do. But compared to, I guess you could say, Trump in space when it comes to trade and fair trade practices, Trump's got over Biden 100%. But folks, people should have known they were voting for an outright socialist under Biden. They should have known from his past record under Obama and his past record in Congress. They were voting for a socialist, an anti-American socialist. They should have known that. You say, well, he lost anyway. The election was rigged. I have no doubt that's true. Matter of fact, the proof's coming out in many places, in Michigan and Arizona and Georgia. Proof's coming out. What's going to be done about it? Nothing. You think they're going to reverse the election just because it's called to be proved as a fraud? You think they're going to tell Kamala Harris and Biden to go home and put Trump back in office? Do you think they're going to do that? Now, you know better than that. And another point of this is, too, if you did vote, and you know that the election was rigged, how many people won't even bother voting next time? Folks, elections have been rigged in this country for a lot of years. Believe me, they were rigged for Obama the second time around, too. They've been rigged for many, many decades in many different ways. So, no, it's not going to change it. I admire those who are proving it. I do. the pillar guy, and his name right now is leaving my mind. The guy that made the My Pillar commercial is one of the leading gentlemen charging this into this war, and it proving the fraud of the election. And Mike Lindell, that's it, Mike Lindell. So I'm marrying for that. I truly do. And he's been sued for bunches of money for his stand. But I admire the man's courage. I admire his tenacity. I admire his desire to get the truth out there. Now, once you get it out, what are you going to do? What's your next move? The courts would not hear this back after the election. Congress will not hear it. So what are you going to do? Who are you going to see? Something to think about, isn't it? Now, years ago, I was having our church Bible studies, and I mentioned this next article and this next issue to the church is going to happen. I didn't know when, but I mentioned this is going to happen in this country. And a few weeks ago, I mentioned on this broadcast that airlines are going to charge people by the pound. No, I'm not making it up. U.S. Airlines may soon weigh obese passengers and raise fares after the draconian COVID lockdowns pile on the pounds. They blame on COVID. Well, people stay at home and gain weight. So they're going to have to charge more money for the tickets. Oh, wow, let's milk this COVID thing for everything we can get out of it. Let's just milk it for all we can get out of it. I mean, we can charge and make another $20 off this guy if we enforce this COVID gain weight thing. Oh, my God, people. Americans may soon be shocked to discover weigh-in requirements at airports that has heavier passengers burden carriers with extra fuel and safety concerns. With the benefit of hindsight, can we say that lockdowns were a total disaster? Oscar Wilde, the Irish poet and playwright, famously told U.S. Customs in 1882 that he had nothing to declare but my genius. By comparison, the only thing U.S. travelers may be required to declare is the extra weight they've gained since being forced to shelter in place with their processed foods and Netflix since last year's COVID-19 outbreak. You know, I've been blessed with a little bit of insight from the Word of God, and I do teach scriptures from the Bible being the main source of knowledge, history and other, and current events and other. I can tell you where we are in time, not because I'm not an Old Testament prophet, but I can be a New Testament prophet and seeing a line of scriptures and history and current events. I can tell you what's coming pretty much next down the line. I don't know exactly when, but it's coming. I mentioned this years ago. This is going to come. I didn't know how they were going to do it. Had no idea. I had no idea how they were going to shut down the world's economy either. I didn't think they would do it with the virus, but they shut down the world's economy or something we can't even see. Shut down with a virus. So, I think if you just stop and look at the results of what's happening, if you do study scriptures and understand history, you can see where we are in time, folks. And you can see what's coming probably on a very near horizon. I think you'll find that what I'm going to tell you right now will be true also. Because of the vaccines, millions of people are going to get sick. I said millions are going to get sick. Millions. But it won't be because of the vaccine. According to them, there's a new virus out, a new strand of COVID that we have to stop. We got to shut down again. We got to get everybody vaccinated. We got to get this done 100%. We can no longer allow anybody to go without being vaccinated. It is a population control ploy that they've said they're going to do for years, and now they're doing it. So the millions that are going to get sick and probably die from the vaccines are going to die from another virus that we've got to make another shot for. Think about that. Red states lead the charge in lowest unemployment rates. In a Friday release, the Commerce Department announced that the top five states with the highest unemployment rates in April were Hawaii, 8.5%, followed by California, 8.3%, New Mexico and New York at 8.2% each, Connecticut at 8.1%. All five states have Democrat trifectas, meaning that the state houses and Senates, as well as the governorships, are Democrat-controlled. At the same time, the top four states with the lowest jobless rates in April all have been Republican trifectas: Nebraska, New Hampshire, South Dakota, and Utah, with 2.8% each. Vermont, whose state house and Senate are Democrat-controlled, while the governorship is Republican, came in fifth with an unemployment rate of 2.9%. Overall, 31 states had unemployment rates lower than the U.S. national average of 6.1%, with 26 of them red states. One of the 19 states in District Columbia that had jobless rates higher than national average, and 14 are blue. Out of the 19 states with jobless rates higher than the national average, 14 of them are blue. That, I guess that does tell something, doesn't it? I do know West Virginia, for 40 years or longer, we were a strongly Democratic state. But that switched some time back, and I think it was 2016 or earlier. We started seeing more control of the Republicans in the House and Senate and in the governorship. And we've seen things change here in some ways, in good ways. The right to work law was passed here finally. We can now have concealed carry without permission. You can carry a gun in this state without permission or license of any kind. We've seen a lot of the good things come around in some directions. But folks, that doesn't mean the taxes didn't go up. They did. The governor raised taxes on license plates and different fees on cars. Supposedly fix the roads, and that's what he said. But taxes went up because the state needed the money. Even though a few years ago they found excess of 2,000 cars they didn't know they had. Something to think about, isn't it? California nightmare. How high prices, rampant crime, suffocating wokery. I said wokery, W-O-K-E-R-Y. Streets littered with homeless addicts, and years of liberal policies are blamed for ruining the Golden State as thousands of families flee to Republican Texas and Florida. People are leaving the most economically powerful and populous state in droves. California has seen its population decline for the first time in its state's 171-year history. Families are being driven away by cost of living, crime, fears, taxes, and wildfires. Scott Thatcher and his wife Angela were born in California and loved the sun-kissed Golden State. But 2 months ago, they sold their home, packed up their belongings, and traveled 1,700 miles with their three sons to start a new life in Texas. Despite earning good salaries with secure jobs as a driver and a nurse, the family's combined income of almost $140,000 a year was not enough to prosper in their town of Modesto, about 90 minutes east of San Francisco. "We were surviving but not thriving," said Scott, 35. We were getting by, but it felt like we could never really get ahead. The pandemic was the final straw after politicians shut down schools in the state. Now the couple have a far bigger home in Fort Worth, and although they earn slightly less, they take home more money thanks to lower taxes in Texas. As Scott says, you pay a high premium for the California lifestyle. But increasingly, people are deciding this is a premium no longer worth paying and joining the exodus from America's most populous and economically powerful state. California had been on a wrong road for a long time, folks. Back in 1969, or early 70, I was on my way to Vietnam. Flew into San Francisco, myself and another friend. We walked across the Golden Gate Bridge. We could see Alcatraz from the bridge. We went downtown into on the trolley cars in Chinatown. San Francisco, even though it was full of hippies back then, and drug cultures already started taking over, it was still a beautiful town. It was still a nice town. It was fun to explore this place, and I was only there a few days. I don't want to go back there now from what I read about these cities. I mean, homeless people living in tents and cardboard boxes all along the street, defecating in the streets, and they can't do anything about it. So it's no longer illegal to do that. Walking in stores, defecating in stores, stealing things, and the cops won't do anything about it. Folks, this is for real. We're a third world nation in the most populous state and most prosperous state at one time in this country. They'll become a third world country. That's what California has become into. And folks, that's sad. That's beyond the word sad. That was unnecessary and unneeded. Again, for running out of time, do not forget to call Beldy at 800-375-4188. And tell her that I did a good job. If you don't mind, just stretch your truth a little bit. Tell her I worked out real hard. Now it's a good time maybe to cover one more story here. Shifting COVID-19 face mask rules divide Ohio City. Folks, were divided over race, We're divided over economy. We're divided over so many issues. Now our cities divide over mask rules. Sandusky, Ohio. When the CDC said it was safe for fully vaccinated people to stop wearing face masks, Angela Warren quietly changed the sign at the gym she co-owns from masks are mandated to masks are recommended. The clients at her gym look a lot like Sandusky. Some can be bothered with masks or COVID-19 at all. Many are vaccinated. Others say they never will be. Don't judge, she tells people. In communities across America, masks have become a symbol of personal anxieties that have divided friends and neighbors throughout the pandemic. People have been forced to make difficult decisions weighing their physical and mental health against their economic livelihoods and those of others. Business owners in cities like Sandusky can't blame their decisions on a faraway corporate parent. The decisions on masks have meant confronting friends, neighbors, and coworkers on a daily basis. In the 60% of Americans that lives in cities with fewer than 50,000 people, that can be a deeply personal task. We're not big enough that people can segregate from each other, said Eric Wolfster, the city manager. We only have one downtown. If you're going to go downtown, you're going there whether you're Republican, Democrat, black, or white. So cities are being divided over masks. Oh, folks, our nation's in sad shape. Nothing else. Pray for the country, folks. Pray for it. And prepare yourself and tell your family about these things. Help them prepare also, please. For their good, help them prepare for what's coming. Well, folks, I'll see you back on here Wednesday with Nellie Seastrom. She'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night. Again, give her a call at 800-375-4188. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.